Hello, hello, welcome, welcome. It is January 12th, 2021. That means, and it's 1900, well, 1901 UTC. So let's talk about some news. There's all sorts of stuff going on. My Firefox needs to sync. So one second. Sync now. Alrighty, that should do it. Alright. While the news loads up on my computer, I'd like to remind you that when the show's live, like today, you can interact live during the show at SDF on the Comm Chat program. What I gotta do is... Oh, my network's kind of boggy. But all you gotta do is type Comm at the prompt once you SSH over, then type G for go to, then type anon radio, all lowercase, boom. You are in chat. Hey, it looks like we got X1 Publius in the comm already going. Heck yeah. Ugh, Tobe, too. Driving around listening to large LED signs. Oh, yeah. Definitely tune in to the Dubious Goals Committee today after this show because he's having some fun. A lot of audio stuff happening up there in the great Midwest. Or, I don't know, middle of the country. All right, let's get going. Let's start the way we always start. World news. That's right. Turn on the blender, pop out some news. Here we go. It's nicely world. Bobby Wine, who we've talked about before, even yesterday, the pop star, is in the news again. This is from Al Jazeera. Basically, their argument here. Bobby Wine, Uganda's most prominent opposition figure, cut a lonely figure as he addressed journalists in central Kampala on Tuesday, 2 days before a tense presidential election. Most of the team of the music star turned politician who is taking on the country's president of 35 years have been imprisoned during a campaign season marred by deadly violence. So, basically, the highlight here is that Bobby Wine is in a well, this is Al Jazeera, but still pretty mainstream, a well-known front headline. So I think that looks good. Bobby Wine is an easy name to say. So anyway, I just wanted to be like, heck yeah, I think this will be good for them. Bobby Wine is half the age of Uganda's long-serving president, Yoweri Museveni. And he seized power in 1986. Before his entry into politics, Bobby Wine was a ghetto president. He grew up in Kamwayoka, a slum in the center of Kampala, with dozens of siblings and half-siblings. So, anyway, that's just... I didn't really have a lot of context with that. We've talked about Bobby Wine a bunch in detail, so... anyway, you can check it out. Coming to us from Reuters, Iran denies Pompeo's assertion it has ties with Al-Qaeda. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif on Tuesday rejected as warmongering lies an assertion by U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo that Iran has ties to the Islamist militant group Al-Qaeda. With fictitious Iran declassifications and Al-Qaeda claims, Pompeo is pathetically ending his disastrous career with more warmongering lies, Zarif tweeted. No one is fooled. All 9/11 terrorists came from Secretary Pompeo's favorite ME Middle East destinations. None from Iran, Zarif said. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said on Tuesday that Al-Qaeda had established a new home base in Iran and the United States had fewer options in dealing with the group. Now it was buried inside that country. Yep. Well, actually... Hold on, I might have gotten the numbers wrong for Bobby Wine's siblings. Sibling. With dozens of siblings and half-siblings. So, multiples of 12. So I'm going to guess he had like 23 brothers and sisters. You can find out. Bobby Wine family size. So that's the internet. We'll figure it out. Okay, Wikipedia comes up. Personal life. siblings. Brothers. Nope, siblings. Sorry, it's not in his Wikipedia page, so it's hard. I don't know. But it does say dozens, so that's what we've got to go with. Here we go. All right. So anyway, Mike Pompeo basically said Al-Qaeda is in Iran. And one of the common threads that is floating around is that Trump is trying to ruin as much of our foreign relations as possible so that when Biden comes in, he's going to have to spend all his energy just getting us back to where we were 10 years ago, that he won't be able to actually affect any change. But we'll see how that plays out. Some more extreme sites suggest that this is how Trump tries to do a second coup. So we'll see. Second attempt. Now, Malawi has declared a state of disaster after two ministers die of COVID-19. Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera has declared a state of disaster in an address to the nation delivered hours after two cabinet members died from COVID-19 amid a spike in coronavirus infections. That's a fun play on word, since the coronavirus has that spike protein. Transport Minister Sadiq Mia and local government minister Lingson Barakanyama both succumbed to the disease in the early hours of Thursday. Chakwera, in his speech, called the deaths an incalculable loss, according to a local media outlet, Nyasa Times. The government announced a three-day mourning period starting on Tuesday. They had a typo. They were senior members of the Malawi Congress Party, the main partner in an alliance that unseated former President Peter Mutharika in June last year. That's... All right. Well, enough of that. Let's talk about a site. I'm trying something here. Central Spain records temperatures of negative 25 C after snowstorm. You heard that right. Officials have warned the elderly to stay at home. At least 7 people have died due to weather. The last 2 victims were homeless people in Barcelona. The temperature reached negative 13 degrees Fahrenheit in Molina de Aragon and Teruel, in mountains east of Madrid, Spain's coldest night for at least 20 years. Deep snow left by Storm Filomena has turned to ice, disrupting transport. There's been an extraordinary quantity of snow and ice for Spain, where winters are usually quite mild. Spanish Siberia is the subheadline. Molina de Aragon, where the coldest overnight temperature was recorded, is 197 kilometers northeast of Madrid. It lived up to its nickname, the Spanish Siberia. We're going to have this cold for a few more days, but we all pull together. A local woman, Yoli Asenio, told the BBC's Guy Hedgeco. Siberia, Iberia. The Iberia, Siberia. It's a fun thing to say. It's fun words. And you can tell that they're not used to ice because they show a photo of a woman trying to clear her walkway, and she's taken a bucket of hot water and just poured it down the street. And if you've ever done that, you know that it melts the snow and then turns into a nice sheet of ice that's even harder to get rid of. So good luck to all the people trying their best. All right. I don't know if you can hear it. I've got very thin windows. And even though I'm behind a door and hidden away in a closet, the lawnmower leaf blower brigade is in full effect. Can you hear it? It's enough to drive me mad. All right. Well, let's get back into sad news. Erdogan has promised to put EU ties back on track. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has said he wants to improve relations with the EU following a long-standing dispute with Greece and recent feud with his French counterpart Emmanuel Macron. During a televised meeting with EU ambassadors on Tuesday, Erdogan softened some of his toughest rhetoric and took a conciliatory tone. "We are ready to put our relations back on track," Erdogan told the ambassadors when he addressed some addressed from his presidential compound in Ankara. We expect our European friends to show the same goodwill. On Monday, in another sign of easing relations, Turkey and Greece said they were willing to resume exploratory talks regarding their disputes over contested East Mediterranean waters and other issues. So, we'll see how this plays out. I think it's positive that they're working on it. Belarus also was in the news. Let me see if I've got that story pulled up. Hold on. Where did I see that? Sorry, I had this story and I wanted to mention it, but darn it, I lost it. Sorry, I guess we won't have it. Anyway, just know Belarus is trying to work on itself too. Surprise, surprise. All right. So yeah, now it's time to talk about COVID for a little while. This will be a little bit of a downer. First up, we start in Toronto. Officials in Canada's largest province say COVID-19 deaths could soon exceed those during the pandemic's first wave. COVID-19 deaths in the Canadian province of Ontario could exceed those during the first wave of the pandemic, public health officials said on Tuesday, warning the healthcare system could soon be overwhelmed amid mounting infections. According to a report, Ontario authorities said daily deaths could double from 50 to 100 between now and the end of February if current novel coronavirus-related restrictions are maintained. The number of patients in hospital intensive care units in the province could hit 500 in mid-January and surpass 1,000 by February in worst-case scenarios. Without significant reduction in contacts, the health system will be overwhelmed and mortality will exceed the first wave totals before a vaccine has time to take effect. Dr. Adelstein Brown, co-chair of the province's COVID-19 science advisory table, said on Tuesday morning. So, good luck, Ontario. You guys are trying your best, and I appreciate it. Of course, if we go over and look at Germany, we mentioned some crematoriums were having trouble. Well, the AP found one that's having a bit more. The caskets are stacked three high in Meissen's crematorium's somber memorial hall, piled up in empty offices and stored in hallways. Many are sealed with plastic wrapping. Others are labeled infection risk, urgent, or simply COVID. A surge of coronavirus deaths in this corner of eastern Germany has boosted business for crematorium manager Jörg Schaldach and his family, but nobody is celebrating. Situation is a little bit tense for us at the moment, Schaldach said, as another undertaker's van pulled up outside. The crematorium would typically have 70 to 100 caskets on site at this time of year, when the flu season takes its toll on the elderly. Meissen is near Dresden, in Saxony. Thanks, Puvnes. The situation is a little bit tense. The crematorium would typically have 70 to 100 caskets. It's normal for more people to die in winter. Now, he has 300 bodies waiting to be cremated, and each day dozens more are delivered to the modernist building on a hill overlooking Meissen, an ancient town better known for its delicate porcelain and impressive Gothic castle. On Monday, Meissen County once again took the unwanted lead in Germany's COVID-19 tables, with an infection rate three times the national average. The state of Saxony, where Meissen is located, includes 6 of the 10 worst-hit counties in Germany. Schaldach says the crematorium is doing its best to keep up with demand, firing up the twin furnaces every 45 minutes and managing 60 cremations a day. The ashes still end up in the right urn, he said. Sorry, that was a bit dark, but it was very funny to me. Sorry, I'm drinking water today. I forgot to drink water for a few days, and it was kind of like, oh no! So I'm trying my best to remember to drink water, and not just tea. Landskreis. Alright, sorry, I'm a little everywhere today. I'm not as frazzled as I was yesterday, but I'm still, going all over the place. You know what I need? I need some wine and cognac from France. That's where that stuff comes from. Or at least that's where a lot of it comes from. But guess what? AFP's letting us know. France 24 is letting us know. New U.S. tariffs on French wine and cognac are coming into force. The EU regretted a new wave of U.S. tariffs on French and German products that came into force on Tuesday and said it would seek a trade truce with the incoming Biden administration. The tariffs are yet another chapter in a 16-year spat over subsidies for aircraft manufacturers Airbus and Boeing that turned increasingly sour under President Trump. French exporters were hit with hiked tariffs on wine and cognac, while Germany saw new levies on aeronautical parts. The Commission takes note of today's entry into force of U.S. tariffs arising from the WTO, the World Trade Organization, Airbus case on aircraft subsidies. The EU executive handles trade matters for the bloc's 27 member states. As we've made clear before, we regret that the United States chose to add further EU products to its retaliation list. The EU is looking forward to engaging constructively with the new U.S. administration to resolve this long-lasting dispute as part of a renewed transatlantic agenda. French wine and spirits exporters believe the new tariffs will cost the sector 1 billion euros in sales, with the cognac business especially punished. In its last days in office, the Trump administration is blowing hot and cold on trade issues with Europeans. So, yeah. So I think the retaliation list is probably the thing that I think is most entertaining out of this. All right, we've got, really, now it's going to be time for U.S. news. So let's go ahead and play a song. I think we need to play a song just because sometimes you just need to. I'm excited. While I look for the song, I'll tell you. I ordered on eBay. I won a lot of 9 1 terabyte spinning disk drives, and I was worried that they would be bogus or bad, but nope, they're clean 1 terabyte pulls from a server, and I guess it's because they bought 1 terabyte drives in 2019, and it's like, come on guys, don't buy 1 terabyte drives. But for someone like me, that was perfect. So I've got 6 bays in my server, in my case. And so I put the 6 bays in there and realized that I only had 4 cables to feed my RAID card. So now I've got to buy a cable to attach it. But then, oh, watch out, everybody! I'm gonna have 4 RAID 1s. Like I'm gonna have a RAID 10 with all of those drives. It'll be sweet. It'll be so fast. I'm excited. Or at least it'll be so much faster than the current USB 3 drive that I have that's like one external USB 3 drive. Where was I? Sorry, we're playing a song. Sometimes I just kind of... Anyway, we're having a good time. All right. So this is a song off of the album How to Clean Everything. It's by this band called Propagandhi. I really like them. They are fun. And anyway, this song is a cover. It's called I Want You to Want Me. Sorry, that's an extract from that song. Here. This is Ska Sucks.
Fuck you, Rudy!
Yes, that's right. That was Propagandhi Skull Sucks. And you are listening to Anon Radio, powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System. That is where we are. Join SDF. It's pretty cool. I dig it a lot. So anyway, let's just get on with the news, shall we? We've got about 7 minutes, or 7 minutes and some change, before the Dubious Skulls Canoe with Tobe kicks up, and it's a good time. We're going to be driving around, I think. I think we're going to go on our field trip with Tobe, listening to LED sounds. So, RF is alive and well, alive and well, as I get, what is the word? When I'm tired, my accent comes out, and then sometimes it gets even worse. My babysitter growing up for a number of years was from Arkansas, like out in the woods, Arkansas. So sometimes that comes out, and it's always surprising when it does. All right. Let's get going. First up, good news. Lisa Montgomery, judge halts execution of only woman on U.S. death row. A U.S. judge has granted a stay of execution to Lisa Montgomery just hours before the only woman on America's federal death row was due to be given a lethal injection. Judge James Hanlon said a competency hearing, should be held first. Montgomery's lawyers had argued she was mentally incompetent to be executed, saying she was born brain damaged. Lisa Montgomery strangled a pregnant woman in Missouri before cutting out and kidnapping the baby in 2004. Montgomery, now 52, would have been the first female federal inmate to be put to death in almost 70 years had her execution in Terre Haute, Indiana, gone ahead as scheduled. In Monday's ruling, Judge Hanlon of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Indiana wrote, Miss Montgomery's motion to stay execution is granted to allow the court to conduct a hearing to determine Miss Montgomery's competence to be executed. Mr. Montgomery's current mental state is so divorced from reality that she cannot rationally understand the government's rationale for her execution. The court will set a time and date for the hearing in a separate order in due course. So, we'll see what happens. In Texas, they've put to death many people who have mental disabilities, so hopefully Indiana, Terre Haute, has some compassion. We'll find out soon. Or we'll find out eventually. Trump's been on a murder binge lately, but I don't know if Biden's going to push that as hard. All right. In political news, this is a story from yesterday, but apparently it's allegedly been updated. But basically, Democrats are barreling toward impeaching Trump in wake of the Capitol siege. Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives plan to impeach Donald Trump today unless he steps down or is removed before then, after drawing up charges accusing him of inciting insurrection ahead of last week's siege of the Capitol. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer told his fellow Democrats the chamber would take up impeachment on Wednesday if Vice President Mike Pence doesn't invoke the U.S. Constitution's 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office. Passage would make Trump a Republican. Why they got to say, oh, it's from Reuters, that's why. The only U.S. president to ever be impeached twice. An impeachment would prompt the Senate to hold a trial to decide whether to convict and remove him from office, although it's unlikely the proceeding would be complete before Trump's terms expired. A Senate conviction could also lead to Trump being barred from holding public office again, ending his potential 2024 presidential bid before it begins. I've heard other things, read other articles, heard other things where people say the big thing would be it would, if he was impeached and found guilty, then he would lose like his pension and his like Secret Service detail and all that other, all the other perks. Because, once you're president, you just basically get your salary until you die. So we need more. If you want to save money, elect an old president. That way they'll die sooner. That's awful to say. Anyway, let's keep going. We've only got a couple minutes. Standing amid a throng of flag-waving supporters of President Trump in front of the U.S. Capitol last Wednesday, Rick Saccone decided to capture the historic moment. The former Pennsylvania state lawmaker handed his cell phone to his wife to record his message. We're trying to run out all the evil people and rhinos, that's an acronym that stands for Republican in name only, that have betrayed our president, said Saccone, using a term to disparage moderate Republicans. Oh yeah, they say there. We are going to run them out of their offices, he said, and posted the video to his Facebook page without giving it a second thought. The next day, he was forced to quit his job. So Coney, 63, resigned as a political science adjunct professor at St. Vincent College in Pennsylvania, where he taught for 21 years after the video was widely condemned. In an interview with Reuters, he said he regretted making the video, but said his message was taken too seriously. "We were just playing, having fun." Come on. Yeah. "We were just playing. We didn't mean to kill anybody. 5 people have died, including U.S. Capitol Police officer, when supporters of the president stormed the complex as lawmakers began certifying Democrat Joe Biden's victory over the Republican Trump in the November election. Trump has claimed without evidence that he won the election." So, yeah, very scary. We'll just run through the headlines real quick because we're running out of time. 3 lawmakers who sheltered during the Capitol attack test positive for COVID. Brad Schneier, one of a trio infected, condemns selfishness and arrogance of the anti-maskers he shared the secured room with. They tried to hand out masks while they were all stuffed in that one room, and all the Republican anti-mask guys were like, "No, screw you," and they just laughed at him. So, yeah, now maybe maybe a bunch of our lawmakers have COVID because of that. So great. Science lost that day. Science lost hard that day. U.S. releases photo of a suspect in murder of police officer during the Capitol siege. So you can go onto Reuters or just Google or whatever search to see that if you might know the guy. And New York. Oh, the rest of these stories are kind of longer form. I'm not going to go into them. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Publius has a great idea. Pence could invoke the 25th Amendment, then get a stroke and be replaced by Pelosi. And then Biden would be the 48th president. What a trip. Anyway, yeah, this show worked out well. I will post, as long as my server doesn't crash. Like I said, it's having power problems now. As long as it doesn't crash, I'll post the links to the stories that I've got today on Mastodon. And yeah. Anyway, I guess that's it. Thanks so much for tuning in. It was good to talk to you guys in calm while we were doing this. Here, I'll just play some more few second long tracks that apparently I've cut from different songs. This is Crowd Noise in front of the Wings record. Let's see. DGC starting soon. Just about 10 seconds to go. Don't forget. Tune in. Let your friends know.